is to make an observation of mothers. And if you don't do that, you're missing out on a truly great blessing. I'm just going to use a little podium today. I don't need to drag the big dog out. We think of all the Major League Baseball players, football players, basketball players. When they're interviewed at the end of whatever championship they won, the first thing was, "Hi, Mom. Thanks, Mom." It's always Mom. I think, I'm the guy out throwing the ball with the kid. Why aren't I getting thanked? You know, it's always Mom. There's always a way with Mom. She feeds us and cares for us and nurtures us like no other. And I think of my wife. You know, I wrote in her card today, I just said, you know, honestly, nobody knows me like she does and still cares for me and still takes care of me. And I'm really grateful for Joni because she, I have a nickname. I call her Mama all the time at home because it's just the way she nurtures, the way she cares, the way she supports, and the way she loves is extraordinary. To see her with Ben when he came to our house with his broken arms and, you know, she just jumps in, like pushes me out of the way. I'll give him a bath. He's going to the bathroom. I got it. And I'm like, okay, good. And certain things I haven't been very good at doing, and the bathroom part is not my favorite thing, but, you know, just watching her just do that and want to do it. It was like she didn't want him to go. I'm like, oh, he can figure it out on his own. We'll put a bidet on his toilet. He'll be fine. Don't worry about it. She just kept wanting to mommy him and take care of him. And I just think that's a trait of all mothers. And so today we're going to look a little bit at Proverbs 31. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Before I do, I'll give you an update on the church. It was interesting this week. You know, sometimes I get very discouraged. I don't know if you get discouraged. Maybe you think it's taken a long time. I think it's taken a long time. The time I walk through those hallways of that church and stand there and look at it, thinking, God, are we ever going to be here? Are we ever going to hear a sermon from this platform or those speakers and the projector? Is that ever going to work? And I don't know, I just get a little frustrated because it's just so slow with the city. Well, I was driving to work one morning this week about 7:30, and I saw this woman walking around the church. And I go, that's the lady from the city. So I whip a U-turn, and I go in there, and I want to talk to her. I'm like, what's taking so long? What are you doing? And she goes, well, I just got taken pictures for this meeting that we're going to have. And so there's a meeting on May 19th. Keep that in prayer. It's the planning meeting. So we sent out like 500 addressed envelopes to the people in the neighborhood, asking what they think, the impact the church will have on the community, all that kind of weird stuff. So I got to go to this hearing, and all anybody with objections or pros, cons, whatever, will be there chit-chatting about it. But she says, no, you know, it's just the procedure that we're going through. You're doing fine. I'm here to get these pictures and take photographs and size and things so that we have all the information so you can get as fast as you can. So it was neat to see that at least the lady from the city is kind of on my side. She wants us to try to expedite things and get in. And she was there before work trying to work on our behalf. And that was a blessing just to see somebody just saying, hey, we're for you, from the city of Hemet, which is unusual. But anyway, that's kind of the update. So on the 19th, if that all goes well, we could be in by June 1st. Which is coming up really quick since May. So please, if you have time to do any of the work that's there, we still have some touch-up painting that needs to be done, soap dispensers that need to be filled, paper towel, things we've got to figure out. We've got 16 batteries and all the lights that need to be changed. They should be in here any day. I just ordered them. Speakers that need to be hung. There's just a few things. Marvin, there's some drywall that I put up that needs to be textured, just so you know. Floors, bathroom floors, just stuff. And not only that, I want you guys to be preparing with a vision in your mind of what that first day is going to be like. And I walk in there and think, oh, are we going to get, you know, the first day, what if the whole neighborhood shows up? What are we going to do? Who's going to be at the door greeting? And what sermon will I preach? And I, you know, I'm just stressing out about things. But in my mind, I want to see a flow of vision in my head. I know that when I know that people have that same vision, you know, like my wife's doing the greeting thing, and I talked to her about it. She's got this vision for what she wants to see happen. I talked to Josh. I said, so how's Sunday school? She's got a vision of what she sees the kids doing and how they're moving and music and all of those things. So be thinking and be meditating on it. And we're going to have some rehearsals beforehand. So be ready on a couple of Sundays coming up. And we're just going to say, show up and let's walk through. What are we going to do and how are we going to do it? Get a vision for it. Because I believe with all my heart, and if I didn't believe it, then I'd hang it up, that God is pushing this thing through. God has something for us in that building. And I really want to know what it is. I don't know what it is right now, but I really want to know what it is. I'm really, really curious to see why God would take this church and move it to that location. Why didn't he just close the doors? I mean, there's a million churches in heaven, right? Why does he need House of Grace to exist and continue to grow? I really want to know what his purpose is. So I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm almost nervous excited, but I'm excited. So that's the kind of the update with the church. And so be thinking about that. Be looking for on different medias there, whether it be Instagram or the church bulletin thing, that we will have some rehearsal times and some things that are there. The projector works like a champ. It is as clear as a bell. It works wonderful. I just got to hang speakers from the rafters. I keep going in there and go, where do I put them? If I put them here, they're going to go, wah. If I put them here, they're going to be too far forward, they're too far back. I just don't know where to put them. So I need some help with that. Oh, that's a media guy. Well, let's go. Get over there. Help me out. What are you doing? All right. So, Proverbs 31:10. Now, the disclaimer to this is a passage of Scripture known as the virtuous woman, virtuous wife, virtuous whatever. And as you read through it, I don't know how many of you guys have read through this particular passage of Scripture. And like most of us, we look at that woman and go, oh, that's so not me. Man, this woman's superwoman. This woman's like, whoa, wait a minute. It's almost like looking at 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you guys have ever read that? And you look at what love is and you go, I just don't quite measure up to that. Love is patient and kind. Love suffers long. Short fuse. You know what I mean? And we just go through that sometimes and it's like, I don't measure up to this. But no, that 1 Corinthians 13 isn't like, you know, something we're capable of, but it's a target to shoot at. It's the love of God. It's what agape is. And it's written there for us to look at and go, man, I can work on these things. The virtuous woman here is the same thing. It's not an actual person. It's a metaphor. It's a type. It's a picture. He gives it to us right out of the gate. He says, who can find? So it's not somebody he knows. It's who can find this virtuous wife? This virtuous woman. It's an ideal. It's the ideal woman. It's, well, many of the commentators are saying this is written by Bathsheba, who learned from many, many mistakes in her life. Learned from the difficulty and the struggles. If you ever put yourself in Bathsheba's shoes, you saw her husband murdered in a sexual relationship with a king and a child birthed and dies. And then another one comes along and is the promised one and he's wise. And maybe she's trying to tell him, you know, because if you know anything about Solomon, he's a really good-looking guy. He was very handsome, and he was very, you know, he's a prince, and he has all this stuff. And so maybe she's telling him, this is one of the thoughts, maybe she's trying to tell him, this is what you look for in a woman. And I kind of like that thought, because it's an ideal, it's a picture, it's a type of what a woman should be. And the word virtuous means to have this inner strength, it's this character, it's this dignity, if you would. It's this honesty, this true personality. You know, the word virtuous, the best definition that I've heard on that word is everything you just said about your mother right here. Everything that you heard from these children and about women that you just heard from here, that was the best commentary I can give you on the word virtuous, okay? So make notes of everything you just heard, and you've got it figured out. So let me pray, and we'll get into this real quick. It won't take long. So God, we just come before you and we look at this ideal, this purpose that you've written for us to see our wives, our mothers, and the women in our lives in this light of their character and their strength, and not just to honor them on this particular day, Mother's Day, but to consider and bless them each and every day for the work that they do, this tireless work of taking care of children, taking care of us, loving and nurturing that the way they do. Father, I pray that you bless our mothers today and bless this word now in Jesus' name. Amen. This word virtuous is something that's not only just found here for us, but I want to draw your attention to Philippians 4:8. Just a couple of places where we look at this, and it's not just for women, but this is something that's for all of us. And Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue. There's any virtue. And if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do. And the God of peace will be with you. So virtue is a characteristic of something that we need to meditate on. We need to recognize. We need to communicate it to one another. One other place is in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 3 through 5. I'll just start at verse 2 because it's such a great verse. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, give all diligence." You kind of see that word right there? I got to stop. You need to underline. Give all diligence. Diligently seek these things. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. And self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So add those things. This virtue is something that I want you to consider and meditate on. Not only you moms and wives, but each and every one of us need to be adding this word virtue into our character. So getting back to this virtuous woman, this wife, this mother, says, "For her worth is far above rubies." She's very valuable. And I think Josh said it best about his mother. She was a jewel. She was a gem. She was a ruby. Her worth was far greater than anything that he's ever experienced in his life. And that's what a mother is, and that's what a wife is. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So one of the virtues she has is she's trustworthiness. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life. She seeks wool and flax, willing to work with her hands. She's like a merchant ship bringing food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night. So she's industrious. She's one that's constantly feeding and taking care of. I like what Chris said about Cass. I can only see a little Texas town. And all these boys, I know their boys were involved with sports, and they usually eat a lot. And I'm sure there was like just food all the time. And that's probably why they flocked. Although Cass is loving and kind, the food always draws the boys in, right? So, and I see this as a virtue. It's one of the characteristics. She works very hard with her hands. See, the wool, the flax, and willing to work with her hands. I like that. She's like a merchant ship, and she brings her food from afar. The whole idea of that whole thing was not just an abundance of food, but it was very thought when you were buying food from merchants from afar, you know what you were doing? You were buying the nutritious food. You weren't just eating the McDonald's. Okay, so that's kind of the context here. It was getting the best nutrition to grow her family. So just kind of make a note of that. Verse 15, "She also rises well as yet night to provide food for her household and a portion for her maidservant." So there was people that she took care of as well. There's people that she reached out to. She took care of these maidservants as she prepared food for them and prepared them for the day. "She considers a field and buys it, and her profit she plants a vineyard." Very industrious woman. Like I said, some of these things, I mean, I can see her getting up early, fixing the maidservant's breakfast, going out and doing some real estate deals, buying some land, and then when she buys the land, then she's running out planting a vineyard. How many of you guys want to sign up for that program? That's a tough one. But there's a virtue of kind of seeing things and looking into the future and what needs to be provided. And I really like that about this woman. Verse 17, "She girds herself with strength, and strength is in her arms." And that was the whole idea of, I don't know, how many of you guys have held the babies in House of Grace? There's lots of babies here. Pick one up for a while and hold them. You know, even Joy, although she's very petite, if you hold her through maybe two songs in worship, switch arms, that one's dead. You ever watch a mother carry a child? I watch Katie carry Lucy. Lucy's just not fat. She's just a big kid. And I was holding her yesterday. I got weaker. You've gained weight, little girl. She's just a. Yeah, I better watch what I say about Lucy. She's the sweetest little girl. She loves her grandpa. She just wants me to hold her. But I think of it's. She's heavy, but I think of the strength of her mother's arms. Think of how Katie never tires of holding her. I mean, I tire, and I'm supposed to be this big macho guy, and yet mom has a way of. There's a hip bone that they have we don't have or something. And they prop them up on this hip, and they just hold them for hours like it's no big deal. And we try is like, hey, can you take this kid? I'm tired. So that's this idea that the strength is she girds herself with strength, and that's around her waist, and the strength is her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She looks at everything that she has. It's in order. Kids, maidservants, everything. She looks around at those things and says, they are good. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. I don't know, but I've watched moms work tirelessly into the night. Many times when we're tired from the day, and, wow, man, going to bed, honey. Tired. I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Yeah, go ahead. We do. And they stay up. And you hear the dishes clanking, or you hear the laundry going, or you hear the floor being mopped, and they just don't tire. When a child is sick, they stay up late into the night, and they do that. She stretches out her hand to the staff, and her hands hold the spindle, so she's constantly working. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. And I love the fact that moms have this compassion on people that are less fortunate. They're the quick ones to recognize someone in need and to take care of the need. A lot of times, you know, I'll be driving, there'll be some guy bumming money on the street, and I was like, when's the light going to turn green? She said, well, give him, see that guy right there? Can't you give him a dollar? Like, please turn green. And it's always my wife that is so compassionate. You know, this guy's making $60,000 a year on that street corner. Are you kidding me? I give him nothing. I'm just kidding. But, you know, wives, I just know my wife to be the one who's most compassionate. A lot of times we do feed the need here, and she comes. I see her look at it at first like, well, this is going to be a lot of work. And then all of a sudden, she just kind of melts into compassion and just can't wait to serve and give and do. And I've seen all you moms do that. That's one of the blessings of feed the need, is just how well everybody serves. So she reaches out her hand to needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. And I tried to find out what that scarlet is, because scarlet is kind of a red thing, but it was also the color of a coat or something that was going to be warm. So she says she's not afraid of the snow. Her household, the kids are clothed in warm jackets. It reminds me of a time when John and I went to Hungary. And Hungary is like the coldest place on earth in the wintertime. I think we froze. And we were in the Ukraine, and we went to this house that was so dilapidated. It looked like a war had broken out. All the windows are broken out of this house. It's just a shell of a building that's dilapidating. And Eva says, hey, there's people that live in this. Go see them. Okay. Can we go in there? It looks condemned to me. I don't know if I want to go in there. And there's this little girl playing in the dirt. No jacket. Hands were beet red, and she's just playing. She didn't have a jacket. And I thought, you know, when I read this verse, I thought of that little girl. And I thought about how the moms in this church would never let their kids' hands turn purple because of cold. How the kids, I had Troy up and we had a little bit of snow. And his bag was packed with gloves and beanies and hats and jackets and sweatshirts. And she didn't want him to be cold. So the virtuous woman is always looking after her family for warmth and clothes. She makes tapestry, verse 22, for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She dresses up. She looks good. Her husband is known in the gate. And this is kind of the whole context there. She makes these clothes for herself, this fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sits among the elders of the land. I like this picture, and it takes some thought here. But the ideal here is this woman is takes care of herself. She's fit. She wears nice clothes. And when he goes and sits with the boys down at the gate to govern the town and do whatever, they look at him when he walks in and goes, dude, your wife's hot. I just put it in modern vernacular. Your wife is really on it, man. She takes care of herself. Not that all women don't, but the way that she handles herself, other guys recognize it. And probably his countenance is, yes, my wife is very nice. Thank you. And she's very well dressed. And she's very well taken care of. And she takes care of herself. And it says a lot about a husband when he's with his peers. I know a lot of my peers that I work with in the world, in my construction business, my other hat I put on and I go out in the world, and those who know my wife speak very highly of her. Man, your wife just never ages. Man, your wife is just so, she's as cute as the day you met her. Yeah, she is, exactly. And it just, people think, man, they understand how we stay married because Joni is such a special person. And I think that's so important that our wives do that for us. So he goes to the gate and he sits at the gate and the elders of the land. Okay, so that's really good. Husband is known at the gate when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies sashes for the merchants. So she's selling some of the clothes she makes. This is where it really gets into the mother part in verse 25 and following. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothes. She rejoices in times to come. I love this picture, this imagery of strength and honor are her clothes. It's just a metaphor and a picture and a type. She clothes herself with strength of character. She clothes herself with honor. And the thing that I like most here is she shall rejoice in times to come. She's looking in the future. She fears nothing of the future. And I think of what time does in our life. And most of us that are getting older and our kids have grown, we start to see what that's like. How Jossie is like her mother and Katie is like her mother. And just repeating this character of nurture and growth and blessing. And she sees this and it's the fruit of her labor. All this stuff that you girls are doing, pulling out your hair with the terrible twos and the threes, and I'll never make it. You know, sometimes I hear moms crying out, how am I going to get through this? Are they really going to be different? Yeah, they do get different. The fruit of your labor shows up in the future, and that's what she looks to. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Another great picture and imagery here that I love so much about moms. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Moms have a way of saying the right thing. You know, you can buffalo your dad, your dad will say something, but if you really want wisdom, go to mom, and she'll tell you like it really is. They have a way of wisdom. And the reason the wisdom is so rich that it comes from the mother is found in the very next part of the verse. And I love this, and it says, on her tongue is the law of kindness. See, dads, we won't do this for Father's Day, because a lot of times when we speak, the law of kindness isn't on our tongue. Amen, Ernie? Okay. So we're more of we're laying down the law with the tongue. See, we're telling it like, but mom, when she opens her mouth and this comes out, this law of kindness, this law of grace seems to just come out of their mouth. I've come to know that to be true of moms. And so do you, because again, that was your testimony today. Out of her mouth comes this great kindness. Verse 27, she watches over the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In a house where there's kids, there's probably no room for laziness at all. There's no room for idle time, idle chat, sitting around, doing nothing, because there's always more than enough to do. And this woman watches the way of her house. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's constantly busy. And I've seen houses like Melina was talking about, some of these houses where children are neglected. There's usually just a presence of laziness. So they're not being nurtured. They're not being taken care of because self has come in, and it is a very destructive way. But mothers, when you see these kids and they've grown and they have such great character, you know that there's a mother behind them that never sat idle. Mother 24/7, 365. And they were constantly doing the work, and there was no time for idleness. And what happens in that, like I said, the fruit of their labor, in the wisdom of whoever wrote this, Lemuel or Solomon or Bathsheba, knowing that there's no idleness, verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. This is the blessing of being the mother. That's why every sports figure you've ever seen, and you wonder why they always say, hi, mom, thanks, mom, is because mom has worked so diligently, so hard for these guys that are professional athletes or whatever, or anybody. We should all be standing and blessing our mothers, and that's what we do on Mother's Day because of all their hard work, the fruit of her labor. The children rise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, this is a really good picture and type of what they're trying to say in this characteristic, this idealism is the husband also, as he praises her. It's something that's constantly continual. Husbands, take note right here, mark it in your Bible. Constantly, continually, always praise your wife for the things she does. Look for the things she does and praise her. It helps her. It grows her. It helps her. The whole idea is the husband also, like the kids rise up and call her blessed, the husband is constantly praising his wife. I think of that place when they sit down at the gate with the other guys, when the wife is taking care of all the things at home, and he's out there doing business with the guys. The gate idea back in the Old Testament, they all met at this place, all the governors of the town, and they would sit and discuss whatever politics were going on. And the husband would go to this place, and though they admired him for his wife, when he got there, he would praise his wife. When they would go to the dinners, he would praise his wife. There was praise for his wife continually. And so husbands also, and praised her. And verse 29 says, many daughters have done well. So there's many women that have done well. Charming is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now this is the key. This is the crux. This is the point of the matter. This is what they're trying to get through to you. All of these characteristics and all of these ideals that we've just looked at, the crux of the whole matter is in how these characteristics come out in each and every one of us is the woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing away. And this is something that is so true in life. Guys, if you're not married and you're looking for a woman, don't always look for the charm and the beauty because it's deceitful. It fades away. So many guys get, I'm going to marry me a trophy wife. And everybody else will be gawking at her too. If that's all you're looking for. You want to look for the depth of character. And I think maybe that's why I'm drawn to the whole idea of Bathsheba writing this to her son. Is because there's the depth of character. There's something about Bathsheba that I really admire. And it's not written. It's just my own thought process of thinking about how David handled his life. How did David handle his sin? He went and he confessed it. He was broken and contrite. He had a heart after God. He loved God even though he made mistakes, right? And Bathsheba watched this man do this stuff. And she said, that's a very, very good quality. Matter of fact, that's the most important quality, to have that fear of God and that love of God. And so she's trying so much to say, to all women, those who fear the Lord shall be praised. We all make mistakes in many ways. We all fall short of all of these ideals. They're pictures and type of women that, you know, we can aspire to be, but to do all these things in a particular day is almost impossible, if not impossible, for sure. But to fear the Lord, something we can do every day. We can rise up, make Him Lord of all. It's not about our beauty. It's not about our charm. We know that Peter taught us this in 1 Peter 3:1 is talking about not the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold, or the dressing up, but it's a quiet, gentle spirit. It's a spirit of fearing God and loving God that's very attractive. Also in 1 Timothy 2:9 through 10, another passage of scripture where it talks about the characteristics of a woman. I won't take time to turn to them, but you can look at them later. But it's the equivalent of what it means to have this fear and reverence of God and how important it is and how even the unbelieving husband will be won by this character. Verse 31 says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own work praise her in the gate. You know, there's something special about, I really enjoyed studying this, though I found it a bit difficult at times to look at it. I read it, and then I told John, I figured it out. This isn't an actual person. This is an ideal. This is a metaphor of what it's supposed to be. And this is the crux of it. And as I shared that with her, she goes, yes, that's correct. I see that. And so I just would tell you, ladies, keep up the good work. The world needs moms that care. You know, the world needs this virtuous woman, the one who fears God. If you don't take any of these virtues to heart, take this one. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. In fearing the Lord, all of these other things become possible. Just like if we look at 1 Corinthians 13 and we see that love chapter and we look at the love that we have, we don't measure up. If we just keep our eyes on Christ, that love will be ours as well. The more I look at Jesus, the more I understand Jesus, the more I understand love. The more a woman fears the Lord, the more the woman loves the Lord, the more those characteristics of a virtuous woman come out. So moms, I encourage you today, continue to keep your eyes on the Lord. And next year, more flowers, more testimonies, more commentary on the greatness of mom. So moms, would you stand? Just the moms, we're going to pray for you. Unless you get to your luncheons and your pitties and all the things that all the people are going to be doing for you today. So God, we come and we ask you to bless each and every mother today. Thank you for the qualities of a virtuous mother, the virtuous woman that we have seen in our moms. Thank you for the blessing of knowing that they fear you and they love you and that we have no fear of the future because our moms are in love with you, God. I pray that their nurturing love would continue throughout this next year. Bless them as they go from this place, God. Let us honor them fully today. Let us serve them faithfully. Let us praise them all the days of their life, God. And we thank you for our mommies. Thank you for giving us that wonderful character that builds us and strengthens us each and every day. Bless our moms as we go from this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.